Good day, nerds, and thank you for joining us for episode 15 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined with our co-host, Steve.
What's up, nerds?
Today, we're going to go ahead and discuss some of this week's current news. We're going to hit Steve's latest reviews and the movies he saw over the weekend. We're going to discuss some funny quirks that are going on in Star Wars Galaxy Edge. A quick discussion on San Diego Comic-Con and really what the future of the cons look like. And then really, we're going to do a deep dive into E3 Day 1, which was everything that's taking place up to our recording of this on Monday, June 10th.
Stick around, nerds. Got a lot of news for you. Going to try to get it all done.
Calling back all nerds.
Nerds!
All right, now welcome back to episode 15. Steve, let's just jump right into it with your reviews.
Yeah, I'm going to try to pound through these because I know we got a lot to talk about today. First one I think I'll go over is Rocketman. That one's pretty easy. If you liked Bohemian Rhapsody, don't go into Rocketman expecting Bohemian Rhapsody. It is nothing like that. Bohemian Rhapsody was a more of a actual like telling of the life story biopic. Rocketman is the musical. It is literally the musical, all the characters singing songs, dancing, the whole nine, really fantasy, extravagant, kind of like along the lines of Elton John's life. If you like the movies like Across the Universe.
La La Land?
Yeah, La La Land. If you like those movies, you'll like Rocketman. If you go in expecting something more along the lines of Bohemian Rhapsody, you might not like this one. So go in with the right expectations. It is still tells the story of his life, just in a different kind of medium. The second movie I seen this week was with one of the Cantino kiddos. My daughter was A Secret Life of Pets 2. She enjoyed it because she's four. As the kids get older, they might enjoy it less. As an adult that has to take a child to go see this movie, I enjoyed the first one. The second one, not so much. The first one was a ensemble movie where all the pets are like in all the scenes, and it's this like big ensemble movie that was really funny. This one is more three plot lines coinciding at the same time where they're cutting from scene to scene and place to place, picking up where they left off with each story, and then they kind of converge for like the last 10 minutes. But by the time they all converge the last 10 minutes, you've already kind of lost. You're never really buy into any individual story that really gets you hooked. You're kind of just there like, oh yeah, I forgot about this is going on too. And, and it didn't work as well as the first one. It wasn't a bad movie, but they definitely couldn't pick up the same steam they left off on the first one.
Okay.
And finally, the one everyone's been talking about is Dark Phoenix. So that one, man, I would say it was just a quick cash grab from Fox, knowing that they were giving up these properties. That deal was probably in the works for a long time. They just wanted to put, you know, they had all these actors on contract. They had to put something together. It really didn't work that well. It was very character driven, and they spent a lot of time in character development with characters that you've already seen in previous movies. Like, how much growth do these people really need to go through? And you get drugged down by the constant, like, you're waiting for it to ramp up, and it kind of gives you a little bit, and then pulls right back, and then kind of gives you a little bit, and there was never really any unique using of powers. There was never any unique characters introduced. Like, it was just let's hurry up and make an X-Men movie. They, you know, if we break even on it, you know, they were happy. It was just trying to churn something out. It really wasn't done very well at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody kind of went into it with that expectation, though, because of the fact that it always knew it was the dead end of a franchise, and it was never going to keep going.
Well, you would hope a movie studio would actually kind of give a fuck, though, and bookend it properly, not just like slap something together for the sake of just slapping it together. It's like, you know, they made a good one, you know, in First Class. They have good actors. It was, you know, it's a beloved franchise. just put a little effort into it, even if you know it's like for not. You know, there's a couple kind of people. You put your 2 weeks notice in at work. Do you just sit in your desk and shoot rubber bands at the wall all day? Or do you actually work for the last 2 weeks and have a nice send off? You know, I'm old school. I'll work the last 2 weeks and keep my good reputation on my way out. And there's other people that say, nah, fuck this. I only got 2 weeks left. Fuck y'all, I'm out. And that's kind of how I felt. Like, they were just like, fuck y'all, we out. Like, take these motherfuckers. We don't want them. And they boned out. So it was, yeah, I didn't really enjoy it that much, but, you know, it was a movie.
You know, all the excuses are already coming out, all kinds of little, you know, news releases about, oh, well, why was it so bad? Oh, they had to reshoot the whole ending because it was similar to another Marvel ending. So they reshot the entire ending. The fact that Wolverine wasn't in it, and now they're saying, oh, it was just because of the age cap difference. Okay.
Yeah, I get really annoyed with all the excuses and finger pointing at the end. I would way rather just a movie studio to look at me and give me the good old shoulder shrug, like, huh, let me try. Like, don't finger point and pass blame like you made a bad movie. Yeah, yeah, it happens. You know, sorry about it. Like, can't win them all.
Yeah.
Like, I'd way more respect that than, like, well, he didn't want to do this, so we had to change it. Rah.
Yeah, but, I mean, is it the, sometimes it's the movie studios trying to justify it. Sometimes it's the actors and people involved that are just trying to salvage, like, why I was involved
their
in
career,
this shit movie.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Please don't.
And I do love, like, a lot of times when the actors, like, will admit that they were in a shit movie. You know, like, it is kind of funny when they go on, like, a Conan or something, and they're just like, oh, yeah, yeah, I did that one. That was a thing. Sorry. Sorry about it, guys.
Yeah, so we'll see if that's, you know, a black eye for Sophie Turner as she got hyped. This is her non-Game of Thrones thing, and really didn't do well. And it's not that it just was received poorly. It did terrible at the box office, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, so Rotten Tomatoes is really got a lot to do with, like, because you have a lot of people that go see a premiere night, and they go on Rotten Tomatoes, and they give their rankings and stuff like that. So when you hear 17% on Rotten Tomatoes before 3 days before the movie even releases, like, they are kind of, you know, damning and dooming these movies from the get-go. They're not really giving an opening weekend audience a chance to dissect it. Like, so they're already setting that tone that it's a bad movie, and you're going in kind of with that mindset. You know, it is what it is, I guess.
All right, well, you know, to roll out of reviews, let's talk about some of the news and things that we've been discussing. One that we discussed in the Facebook group, in our Nerd Cantina Facebook group, was just some funny news, as, you know, Star Wars Galaxy Edge is still pretty topical, very much in our face, as we can't look away from what we're missing out on. But the funny stuff with them selling a bunch of costumes and selling a bunch of merchandise there that you can't actually use inside the park, when we're talking about cloaks.
Yeah, and they're doing it under, like, security issues and stuff like that. And I think a lot of it has to do with, like, maybe confusing who actually works at the park and who is actually just a customer. You know, so, you know, like we said last week, that every person working the park has their own backstory and storyline, and they're really trying to make it feel like you're walking into this Star Wars world. Well, if you got, you know, another bounty hunter and there's two standing there, you're trying to figure out where to go get a motherfucking smoothie. You know, like, I think they're worried about liability of customers sending other customers off on, like, wild goose chases and dangerous kind of, like, behavior because they assumed, well, they were people working at the park.
Yeah, I mean, that's always been a part of Disney, is that no costumes were a part of it, for probably a lot of that reason. You know, you don't want your kid not knowing which
Captain Hook
Galaxy's
Edge, I get it,
is.
But, like, I mean, who's walking around motherfucking Disney with that big ass mouse head on for fun? Like, man, sweating balls,
yeah,
all day. You know, the princesses, I could see some. I have some friends that would take that princess cosplay to the extreme, and yeah, you wouldn't be able to tell if that bitch was working there or not. Like, they take it way to the extreme with that.
Yeah, and so they don't allow costumes. They don't allow anything that are like cloaks, trench coats, long form costumes and stuff that cover the body essentially. So it's all in line. It's just funny that they sell the items because, I mean, why wouldn't they sell a $100 cloak? People are going to buy them. But then it's like, well, put that in your bag. You're not allowed to wear that here. Like I said, it's in line with their policies. It's nothing that they've changed for Star Wars Galaxy Edge. It is just a funny little quirk that some people are really upset about.
The one that really got me, though, was the fact that they banned the term younglings because of Anakin slaughtering a bunch of younglings, you know, so like the fact that that word now is associated with child slaughter on Disney grounds, it's taking it a little too far, you know, and like,
well, you know, what's funny though, is somewhere along the way, the younglings it's not said very often in Star Wars, the movies. So they might've actually created the term younglings. So that way they didn't have to say Anakin's killing the children. So they literally, like years ago, they might have agreed on the term younglings because it was way less offensive than just admitting what it was, that he was killing children. And now that like people have embraced the term younglings, they're like, oh, fuck. Like, this is not what it's intended for.
They were all Padawans. They don't ban the name Padawan. You know what I mean? Like you can still say Padawan and stuff like that. There's really... You know, we all know he killed a bunch of kids, yeah. Man. Like, so, like, it happened. It's in the movies. It's canon. But for them to, like, actively have that, like, memo go out to the employees, you're not allowed to refer to children as younglings because it might scar them because they might fear that Anakin's going to come out of the, you know, the back of the show and slaughter them. Like, it's just... No, you know, this is just the absurdity.
That's just going to be the random dude who's stuck in a cloak. He's just going to go running around threatening children with lightsabers.
I came here to kill younglings and chew bubble gum, and I'm all out of bubble gum.
And Batu's got no bubble gum.
Oh, God.
But, you know, the Galaxy Edge stuff, it's still going. I think they're constantly getting better from the reviews. If people who are thinking about going, it looks like they're getting a little more streamlined, better at handling like the reservation process and getting through lines. And the experience seems to be getting better with each day.
And they're moving ahead with phase two and phase three. Like they're not done developing this park. Like people are only able to walk through what essentially is their phase one now. Cause I know they just released an article that they just canceled a ride that was supposed to debut in phase three. Like an animal ride where you ride like not a Tauntaun, but one of those big elephants. This is the difference between a nerd and a geek. I'm a nerd. I don't know the name of that elephant-like Star Wars animal. If you're a geek, you probably know the name of that elephant Star Wars animal. And do not roast me because I do not know the name of that elephant Star Wars animal.
They can still roast you.
Yeah, sure they will.
It's fine.
There's far better things to roast me for. I'm an asshole, so just pick your battles.
Ending the Star Wars talk, but it does kind of relate in the sense of, you know, Disney controlling things. And we're talking about going into, you know, San Diego Comic-Con coming soon. And there was some news about San Diego Comic-Con. There's not going to be a Wonder Woman panel. And that started a conversation about what really is San Diego Comic-Con going to be going in the future.
Yeah, they famously have had that Hall H. You know, every year there's 10 celebrities lined up in chairs, a couple thousand people screaming for whatever they have, people sleeping overnight outside to get into Hall H to get these announcements. Well, with Disney owning everything, essentially,
yeah,
and them pulling their properties for their own conventions, because Disney has a major convention every year themselves, why are they releasing these things in a medium that they don't really make any profit off of? They can sell more tickets for their convention. And then it is puzzling why like WB wouldn't jump on that void, you know, unless they have something in the works we don't know about with their own press releases and conventions and stuff like that. But essentially, I think we are seeing the end of days for the national exposure of San Diego Comic-Con. San Diego Comic-Con is not going to die. You know, C2E2 is still really big out here, and they don't do any real major announcements that get any national coverage. And they still get 100,000 people to go. But whether people are going to flock to San Diego from all over the country, all over the world, to go and be a part of the con that you get the groundbreaking releases from, I think those days are gone now, you know, because of this.
Yeah, and I think this goes in line with a lot of the trend that we're seeing in entertainment is everybody entrenching into their own brand. And this kind of mass exposure or get everybody kind of.
Oh yeah, no one's sharing their toys anymore. No one's sharing their toys anymore.
Well, yeah, and I think it's because it's so easy to live stream things. It's so easy to get that mass audience out there. So it's easy for Disney to create their Disney annual celebration and just hold all these cards themselves and time the release just there instead of essentially giving it to San Diego Comic-Con, but making their own major events. And we might see Warner Brothers do something similar. We might see, this to bleed into even like what we're talking about later with E3. E3 may get scaled at some point in time as people take their products and make their own massive events, releasing outside of these traditional conventions.
Yeah, I don't know how much Disney has to do with like that Star Wars celebration that was just in Chicago. That was huge.
Yeah.
You know, so like, why wouldn't you release all the latest Star Wars news that you want to time out at that convention? Why would you want to do it at a San Diego Comic-Con that you have really no stake in whatsoever?
Yeah.
You know, maybe they won't do a Disney convention. Maybe, yeah, they're going to do Star Wars Celebration, Marvel Celebration, you know, and have
And then they could do that in rotating cities. They can do that.
Yeah.
And just make...
From a marketing and business standpoint, you really can't blame them.
No.
You know, I know nostalgia is like, man, but it's San Diego Comic-Con. Like, you know, I flew out to California, went to San Diego Comic-Con to be a part of that whole madness and scene just so I could experience it. It was fucking insane, man. Like, I go to the cons in Chicago. Chicago's a big city. We get a lot of people at ours that drive from the Midwest because they can't make it to the West Coast or the East Coast. So the Chicago con isn't just Chicago local. You get people from Missouri, Iowa, Michigan, you know, Tennessee, a lot of these surrounding states that drive 8-10 hours in to come to these cons. But even my ass flew from Chicago to San Diego just to be like, I want to see what this be about. You know, like, I want to see the massive size of it. I want to see the top cosplayers in the country and things like that. And I think, yeah, you're not going to have a centralized nerd mecca anymore. It's going to branch off into a bunch of mini niches. You know, so San Diego is like the general nerd mecca. I don't think you're going to have a general anymore. It's going to be niches. So you're going to have your huge Star Wars fest, your huge Marvel fest, your huge Disney, you know, you're like, everybody's just going to branch off into their own thing. It's not like there's not enough people that'll do it with all these niches, you know, that they have the fan base to do it.
Yeah. And like I said, I just think it's super easy to do it well and get coverage in today's media. So why not monetize your own convention, conference, control your media context, control your own hype, instead of relying on San Diego Comic-Con and relying on being kind of caught up in the noise of everybody else's releases and everybody else's. From a PR standpoint, it makes sense. And it may be, like you said, San Diego Comic-Con's not going to die. E3's not going to die. These things aren't going to die, but it completely makes sense that they're going to change. They might have to just focus more back down on like the niche instead of these national releases, because again, it just makes sense. If I was Disney, I would do exactly the same thing. Why would you ever want to time your releases alongside all of your competitors instead of just having your own week where you control the entire news cycle because you scheduled your conference when there's nobody else around?
Yeah. It was fun to have, though, the general, you know, you get a little bit of news about this, you get a little bit of news about that. So from a fan standpoint, it is a little kind of like disheartening that you don't have just one cool nerd weekend where it's just everything releases, movie news, you know, video games, you know, books,
yeah,
all kinds of stuff released there. You know, now it's going to be, you got to find your niche and you got to wait for that. It's going to be more spread out, more sporadic, and you're going to have to kind of seek these things out. To whereas a lot of people don't even, you know, like a lot of our listeners, they just come to our podcast to get the weekly nerd news.
They don't have to seek too hard. Just listen in to the Nerd Cantina show. We'll cover whatever nonsense conferences are going on.
Yeah. We're going to have to do a little bit more traveling, maybe, possibly, you know. As these live streams are good, I do like being on the con floors. I like being able to interview people and things like that. And yeah, we might have to take some tax deductible trips. Oh,
I hate the con floor. But again, I hate.
Oh yeah, I remember walking San Diego Comic Con with you and the kids, and you were a miserable son of a bitch.
Oh no, yeah, I can't stand them. I hate human beings. This is as much human interaction, me and you being thousands of miles away on a computer screen. This is about where I want to be. So, yeah, the cons are a rough place for me. But I think there's just going to be more of them. I really do. I think there's going to be more cons that are going to hit our schedule that are going to have content that matters, right? It was just San Diego Comic-Con was the one that you knew was going to have news, national news coming out of it. And then there was just cons all over the country that it was just like, all right, well, those are just a bunch of nerds connecting, but there was nothing to be expected. And now I think we're going to see a lot more. Time will tell. We'll see in July what San Diego Comic-Con puts together, knowing that, you know, major movie studios are backing out. They're still going to, I'm sure, have some news worth talking about. But July is going to be potentially a tipping point as far as what it's going to look like in the future years.
Yeah, speaking of cons, let's move into the big one from this weekend. You know, E3 had you know, started on a Sunday and started with Microsoft and Xbox's press release. They usually do about a two-hour press release every E3, and yeah, they released a good amount of info yesterday.
Yeah, I watched I watched about 30 minutes of it live. Had to get back to real life and then picked up the rest of it later for the Microsoft one. And then I watched as much as I could of the Bethesda. So there's something to talk about. Again, we're recording this on Monday, June 10th. And unless something crazy happens and we need to jump back in on another recording before Wednesday, we'll catch the rest of the news, Monday, Tuesday news, on next week's episode.
Yeah, unless Nintendo kills Mario on Tuesday, we're just going to release this on Wednesday and do the rest of the con next news cycle. But there was a decent amount. So Xbox released 60 games. 14 Xbox exclusives. What I find interesting and what I'm a fan of is that, you know, they're really pushing this Game Pass now. So this year, out of those 60 games, 34 of them you can play the day they release if you have Game Pass. So they're going to sell the games separately, but if you have that monthly Game Pass, they are just going to give you that game. So 34 games, if you have the monthly subscription, are available to you the day they release, which is, I mean, it's a new concept. It's a new model, you know, and yeah, it's interesting.
It is interesting. Most of those games that they showed are ones that I really personally just don't care about. There are a lot of, they might be fun to play. Some of them might be fun to play. And that's the beauty of Game Pass, is you get exposed to a lot of games that it's, well, I'm paying for it anyway. Might as well try this little indie game. Let's see if I get 5 hours a good play out of it. Let's see if I can get 15 hours of play out of it. That's the beauty of the Game Pass. So the fact that they're rolling out more that are going to be day one releases going into the Game Pass, they're making the Game Pass a more desirable.
Well, and it's not even just the new ones too. So like, you don't have a lot of time to game, you know what I mean? So you don't buy a lot of the games. But they're also releasing some more really good games from the back catalog on the Game Pass. So the Borderlands 1 and 2 pack with all the DLCs completely remastered is on Game Pass now as of yesterday. Arkham Knight, the Batman game, which if you still haven't played it, now you have an excuse to like, no, sit the fuck down and play this game. It's a fucking phenomenal game. You know, They are bundling the Game Pass and the Xbox Live monthly subscription. So it used to be $9.99 a month for the Xbox Live, $9.99 a month for the Game Pass. You get them both for $14.99 a month.
Yeah.
If you go and I they announced it yesterday, so I don't know how long the sale is, but you can sign up for both for a dollar right now. So you can get 1 month of Game Pass and 1 month of Xbox Live for a buck if you sign up right now.
Yeah, and it's, that Game Pass subscription model, I think they are making it. They are making it better in the sense that, yeah, now it's $14.99. That's going to include your Xbox Live. It's also going to include the new PC Game Pass, right? All of the Game Pass games are now going to be open to PC, and it's all going to fall under one Game Pass Ultimate subscription at that $14.99 price. So if you're a PC gamer, a console gamer, or you're just somebody who likes to do a little bit of both, or, hey, you travel a lot or whatever else, and you just want to be able to still play your games on your laptop or play your games wherever you go, you're going to have access to all of it under one subscription.
That's the cool thing. With Bluetooth controllers and a laptop, you're essentially, you can bring your Xbox anywhere you want. You know, like that's essentially kind of like one of the cool perks of that PC Game Pass too.
Yeah. And that's that's one of the announcements, or that kind of combined bundle of Game Pass. So now and a lot of those games that they demonstrated in trailers for the Game Pass, they are simpler indie type games, which actually play really well and smoothly on a PC as kind of just a game you can just take with you. That I think is going to be a strong point for the future of Game Pass.
So as far as actual content that they released, so now I watched the whole convention live, and I literally took notes and just numbered it as they went down these announcements and stuff like this. Some of them aren't really worth talking about or just briefly mentioning. Obsidian Games has got an interesting game coming out called Outer Worlds. It's this future corporate ruled world RPG where you're trying to navigate as like a corporate spy and this like, yeah, it's very futuristic. Graphics look really good. They're releasing this game Bleeding Edge, which is a 4v4 combat game that looked pretty promising. A new Ori for any of the Ori fans. Minecraft Dungeons, that was an interesting one. It is literally like Diablo and Minecraft had a baby.
Yeah.
and now, you know what I mean? Like, and it just spurted out this Diablo-like Minecraft game. So it's like, were you too happy with Diablo's graphics? well, we got the game for you. Like it was really, you know, but Minecraft is got a cult following. I do think that there's just going to be a lot of people that love that Minecraft kind of technology and dive right into a combat, you know, multiplayer game based like this, you know.
Yeah, it's, in Minecraft, you know, they have their niche of people where they'll have the story or whatever else you could play that might be like Diablo, but they'll probably throw in things like building your own dungeons and kind of that free play, create your own.
Yeah, they're very cryptic with a lot of these releases. Yeah, they're so you don't really know. You got to see a little bit of gameplay. You got to see a little bit of the UI screens, you know. But it was just once they were done, they didn't really talk about it. It was just like on to the next one.
Which they did just stack a bunch of them. I was excited for. I don't know actually how excited I was. I saw the Battletoads.
Yeah,
big Battletoads fan here, and I don't know.
It's more colorful. They went less kind of like you know, they just like cleaned up the bit rate and made it more like cartoonish rather than like three dimensional. It has a cult following. That's the thing is with video games, fans love their shit, and if Battletoads is your shit, this was one that you were really excited to hear about, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. They definitely had big releases on some of the cult followings and major releases. You know, you've got the Battletoads, but Gears 5 being one of the major releases that they highlighted, which...
Are you making me turn pages here?
Uh-oh.
All right. I'm checking them off
as we're going over. I'm just trying to blow your flow. I'm just trying to destroy your flow here.
You are fucking up my whole notepad right here.
You're well prepared, and I seek to destroy that.
Yeah, Gears of War 5, Bound by Blood, comes out September 10th. If you're a Gears fan, you're really looking forward to it. They did release footage of what looks like to be a zombie mode, you know, so Call of Duty Zombies.
Yeah.
It looks like Gears is going to have a new zombie mode, a three-player zombie mode.
Yeah, I guess it can be similar to zombie mode, but you're going in, you have to place a bomb, and you have to
Exactly. They're not just going to rip it off, but if you like that type of gameplay, it's similar gameplay.
Three-player co-op. Could be interesting. The Gears 5, they've got some weird Terminator crossover that they demonstrated with the Terminator.
They're going to do a Terminator add-on pack for the people that pre-order it.
Yeah.
You know, it's that whole buy our skins, buy our DLCs type promotion. You know, that whatever.
Yeah.
You know, if it were. People like it, they like it. A weird one they announced is a Blair Witch game. Like, there's actually going to be a Blair Witch game.
Yeah, because that's topical as of the last 20 years. So, might as well.
Because we needed that. I did find some development in, like, the graphic area. So Cuphead was a really groundbreaking game. That old 1940s cartoonish animation for an actual game. And that got a really big cult following, so much so that Elon Musk is adding the game Cuphead to all the Teslas, like, which is like, okay, sure, I'll take it, you know, like, send me Cuphead on my car, like, whatever. But they have this one called Spiritfarer that it's like playing an actual cartoon. The graphics are so vibrant, and you know, you're so used to the way games have been rendered over the last, you know, 30 years that to see these side scrollers now not be so, to have the frame rate be so smooth that it actually looks like a playable, you know, cartoon, that's very interesting to me. And that can get, that piques a lot of people's interest. And that was the appeal of Cuphead, was that it was playing that. So there, I think there's a lot of people kind of pivoting on that success and making it so that Spiritfarer is an animated game like that. There's this Legend of Wright that is like literally a doodle game. It's pictures on a pad that you're playing as.
Yeah, I watched that. I had no idea what that, how that game is gonna play. I have no idea what that is.
But the animation style, like, so. Yeah. So that's the cool thing about Game Pass. Some of these games are coming on Game Pass, and I'll play the first 20 minutes, get me a couple quick, easy achievements, because I'm an achievement whore, and then if it's cool, keep playing it. If it doesn't capture my interest, delete it off my hard drive. Cool. On to the next one.
Yeah.
Two major ones they released in the beginning of their press conference was the Jedi Fallen Order actual gameplay. So you got to see actual game footage from the new Star Wars game that EA is releasing, and the fact that it ties directly into the Rogue One movie. Lauren, or what's his name? I'm drawing a blank. It's too early in the morning for this shit. but it directly has characters from Rogue One interacting with the characters from the video game. So that was new. So now it makes you kind of wonder, you know, the time frame that this game takes in, and you're wondering kind of now what this plot is going to be. It's an intriguing, like, plot point that, you know, it's associated with Star Wars canon now.
Yeah, I that's what the big thing that I like with this game. It's, you know, got very Force Unleashed type gameplay. You know, you got your Force pushes, your Force pulls. You've got really the gameplay looks like what you would expect from a Star Wars game. But yeah, we talked about it before. The plot seems like it's actually something I'd want to watch. It's a movie I'd watch, or a story I'd want to hear. Is the Padawan Jedi running away from Order 76. So
that's the theme that everybody's really been clamoring for, is that, you know, they killed most of the Jedi, but some of them were off planet, some of them got away. That's why Obi-Wan survived, that's how Yoda survived. But there's a comic that came out called Vader Down, and there's, you know, that's the time frame it took place in. It's Vader hunting down a lot of these Padawans and these Jedis to try to exterminate them. And there's a lot you could do with that, because you can create new Jedi that you never heard of that just happen to be in the middle of nowhere and have Vader hunting them and slaughtering them and have the Empire hunting them. So there's, you're not really limited to the scope that you can tell those stories in, because it's a gray area in the Star Wars canon, you know. Sticking with Star Wars, so I'm a big Lego game fan. Like, call me a child, and I don't care. Fight me. Fuck you. I don't give a shit. I love those Lego games. I've owned and played every single one. And they just constantly get better and better. The only thing I can complain about these Lego games is that it's not online co-op. Like, I'd really like to be able to play with, like, friends not being able to sit on my couch with me, because my four-year-old can't hack it yet on them, on them Lego games. Like, I think I got another year or two before she can really understand the concept of the Lego games. So, but they're repackaging, because they come out with one every time a big pop culture movie comes out. So they're repackaging it for the Rise of the Skywalkers. They're redoing the original trilogy Star Wars game and then the second trilogy Star Wars game, because those were more of the older Lego models. Lego Star Wars was the actual original Lego game. So now they're just rebundling it, repackaging it, some new levels, some new achievements. The original was back in the day before, when the Lego characters actually didn't talk in the game. It was all like grunts and points, which I always thought was hilarious. Well, now they actually use lines from the movie. So I think they're going to repackage it with actual voice acting and things like that. So I'm pumped for that one. Like, I really, you know, get excited when a new Lego game comes out. So I'm down.
When you said that there were two major releases you wanted to talk about, I didn't expect that to be one of the two. I thought you were going to go
that, well, I thought you were going to go Star Wars. Well, I was just keeping with the Star Wars theme with that. So okay. So the Jedi Fallen Order, that was the one. I figured, why stray away from Star Wars since we're already on it. But the second one was motherfucking Keanu, dude. Keanu comes out to introduce the Cyberpunk 2077 and shows his actual, like, in-game character, and you throw Keanu in it, I'm down. I'm sorry. Like, I'm a fan. I recommended that Always Be My Maybe movie on last week's episode. Keanu's in that, and he stole the show. Like, he really stole the show in that movie. He plays a version of himself in that movie, which was phenomenal. Just absolutely phenomenally hilarious. And the fact that he got involved and came out at E3 to present it and was all pumped up for it. Like, this game is really starting to build some really good momentum. And this Cyberpunk game, I think, is going to be the next big thing.
Yeah, everything he touches right now, people are just flocking to. He's one of those celebrities that has almost no downside, right? You include his name into anything now, and it just has a mass appeal. He seems like a genuinely nice guy. Like, I don't know how many weird, like, Twitter posts and videos I've seen of him just being a cool dude on the subway in New York, and, like, just he just seems like a good dude. Well,
in
a day and age
when nobody in Hollywood could keep their dick in their pants, you know, to have a dude like Keanu where nobody can say a bad thing about this dude. Like, you'll just see random stories of him picking up, like, hitchhikers and, like, driving them 3 hours out of his way to go to, you know, here's Keanu riding the subway with a homeless man. Like, you can't fucking hate on this dude. Not to mention, he'll do a movie like John Wick, uber serious, uber tactical, takes all this time and effort to make it a good movie, and then leaves that movie and goes and shoots the third Bill and Ted.
Yeah.
And does a camp, you know, Always Be My Maybe, where he makes fun of himself. Like, you gotta love a dude like that.
Everything you see from him is awesome. Was it last month or maybe it was 2 months ago? He had, like, an emergency landing. He was on a plane that landed in, I think it was, like, Riverside instead of LA. He had, like, emergency landing. All the passengers couldn't get a flight out. So dude just rides a bus. He gets a bus and takes everybody to LA and just rides a bus with all these plane passengers. Just like, who the hell does that?
He's the dude you hope you are if you win the lotto.
No, I wouldn't even be that dude. Let's be serious. Like, I would never be that fucking dude. Like, there's, in no point am I thinking, like, if I've got all the money and my flight gets landed, I just need to get to LA. never is it crossing my mind that I'm going to go sit on a stinky ass bus with all these fucking people who are angry about their flight. Nope. I'm calling my limo. I've got Uber X. I got there's a whole lot of other ways I'm making it.
I at least hope I would.
Nah.
Like I might not sit on the bus with them. I might charter the bus and put them all on it and ride behind them in a Bugatti. But in my mind, I hope that if I was uber rich and had no care in the world and could do anything I want, that I would be as cool as Keanu Reeves. No, That's what I would hope.
Every man for themselves. I might buy a couple of boxes of like Dunkin' Donut munchkins at the airport terminal and just set it in.
Here's a box of Joe and a Long John, you please. Yeah, just, get the fuck out. And I'll get out of my face,
peasants. Set it there, tell them to sustain their life while they wait 10 hours for the next flight, and I'm out of there.
At least you're honest with yourself.
there's no chance I'm voluntarily getting on a bus with a whole bunch of randos.
Oh, man. So one thing I did think it was cool, many other people might not think it was cool, but I remember being in a computer lab in high school and hijacking the screen so that the teacher couldn't see him playing flight simulator instead of doing my keyboarding class or whatever, you know, whatever it was.
Typing class that we had to take.
You know, yeah. So you go back into DOS, like if you had any kind of computer knowledge, like teachers sitting there reading a paper, not giving a shit what you're doing, you hurry up and get through the thing, and then you boot up Flight Simulator. That I don't know why the school had Flight Simulator on the computers, but they all did. They're releasing a new flight simulator that is like 4K, yeah, like,
and it
looks fucking epic, man.
There was a brief mention of it being like AI cloud, to where, you know, you may be able to fly like real time world. Like it'll actually be able to link in some way to actual real time. Flight simulators can always be cool. You got to think that they're just getting better. I can't remember the last time I've played one.
It's the government training the next drone army. We're all just auditioning. We're all auditioning for World War III.
I'm good with it.
And if you got certain 100 gamer point achievements on your Xbox, you might get a call from Uncle Sam 15 years from now to fly drones for the United States.
I'm good with it. It all makes sense.
But Ages of Empire 2, they announced, if you're an Ages of Empire fan.
Yeah, let's skip to one that I'm always interested in, Halo. Let me not talk about Halo as one of your two.
Because we're doing the system at the end of this.
Come on.
And Halo comes with the system.
Well, I guess.
It was announced with Project Scarlet.
Yeah, I mean, it was. We're talking games.
Fine. The format, Dick.
I don't have a format. You have a format, and I'm here just to...
I stayed up till 12:30 last night watching fucking conferences, taking fucking notes, and I'll be damned if you're just going to hijack this shit and throw it all to the end.
The fact that you're over here ranting right now demonstrates that I've already hijacked it.
An interesting game I did see, though, called 12 Minutes. Overhead,
yeah.
Basic graphics,
kinda cool.
But it's a Groundhog Day murder mystery,
yeah,
where you keep repeating the same day over and over until you unlock like all the clues on how to save and solve this like murder. They only released like 5 minutes of it,
yeah,
in gameplay, and it really was just like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, it doesn't really tell you how it's going to play out, because there's, yeah, it's like you're stuck in a time loop. Kind of an interesting concept. I have no idea how it's going to actually play out.
I don't know if I marked that one, if it's going to be Game Pass available day one, but I might have to check it out, wait for it to go on sale or something, but it definitely did appeal to me. A Dying Light 2 for all those zombie fans, Lego expansion for Forza Horizon 4. I know a bunch of kids, Mark Brooks's kid is really into building Lego cars, so I'm sure when he's seen that expansion pack, he probably lost his shit. Gears of War, as we were talking about, they're going to have a phone game based off of the Funko Pops, the Gears of War Funko Pops. So they have a mobile game coming out that is a combat-based, all kind of like kiddish with the Funkos. What else? Dragon Ball Z game. I know we probably have a bunch of Dragon Ball Z fans. They announced the actual title, Kakarot. these Dragon Ball Z games are really kind of like immersive. Like it's like playing a Dragon Ball Z episode.
It is exactly like, I mean, the graphics, the way it plays, the way the voice acting and everything else, it is, you are just playing a Dragon Ball Z episode. It is really cool. I've actually, it's been a long time since I picked up one of the Dragon Ball Z games. I imagine today they're probably pretty great.
See, I never got into Dragon Ball Z. I'm an anime fan, you know, but my favorites are like Bleach, Attack on Titan, My Hero, a lot of the older ones, the Dragon Balls, the Narutos. I just feel like I missed the window, and they've done so many different versions and so many different, you know, takes on these stories. It's like, where the fuck do I start? Like, I'm like, you know, One Piece is on like episode 782, you know, and I just watched like episode 165. So it's like, yeah, I'm not trying to just jump into Dragon Ball. If I get through One Piece, all you Dragon Ball and Naruto fans, I apologize, but if I could get through One Piece, I'll hop right on that boat. I'll hop on it for you. I know there's a lot of Phantasy Star Online fans. It was a Japanese exclusive game. It was only available in Japan. They're finally porting it over to the United States on Xbox. So I know that's going to be big for a lot of people, that Phantasy Star is now available in the United States and on the console that you choose. What else? What else? What else? Your game, Borderlands 3, it's got its release date. They released a little bit more footage about it.
Yeah, they've got new DLC content coming for Borderlands 2 that's going to tie into and play into Borderlands 3, so you can start
free with Game Pass. Yep. Free with game, another reason to get that Game Pass. It's that expansion that ties them in. It's free with Game Pass,
which I think is really smart for the studio. Is just continue the hype or whatever else, and release some DLC that's going to directly play the story into transitioning into Borderlands 3. So really,
we
really
all
kind
know
of cool
any
concept.
Good drug dealer gives you the first hit for free.
No, I'm a big fan.
so here's that crack rockin' DLC. Come back to your boy when you want some more. Yeah. That's basically what they're all saying. Elden Ring is what is one that really piqued my interest too.
So that's the George R.R. Martin game, right?
That's the George R.R. Martin with the Masayaki. Like, so two. A really proven video game writer and developer with another, you know, recent, well, I mean, not recent in novels, but I mean, he wasn't as huge until the TV show came out. Like, two really big names in storytelling putting out a video game. It's something that, I'm sorry, you got to play it at least for a little bit to see what it's about. Like, there's no way I'm not going to play this game.
I mean, I could probably skip it. These are things that I love these games, and this is where I regularly go back to my saying is that, you know, I don't have time in my life to be the nerd I want to be. Same thing with the reason why I never really got through Skyrim or anything else. Those games seem amazing to me. But when I got to spend 45 minutes to walk from one city to the next, I'm sorry, I got to be out. I can't. I just can't do these things.
Yeah.
And I think Elden Ring might have that same open world that, like, hey, it's immersive, it's great, and it's time consuming. And I don't know where I can buy into that.
Yeah, I've said it before. Like, Skyrim is, there's open world with rails, and then there's like true open world. I need a little bit of rails. So, like, I need, like, the Assassin's Creed. Like, hey, yeah, go ahead. Explore. Do what you want. But occasionally, you're gonna hit a mountain range where we're going to turn your ass around. And we're going to put you back on this line of quests that you need to do. Because if you are this, you know, this attention deficit fucking adult, you know, that they can't really focus on the story. I've tried to play Skyrim 5 times. I play it for an hour. And I end up going to like the next town and have a bag full of like cups and spoons.
That's my experience every damn time. So that's why I don't know. Elden Ring
I'm
looks,
from the old school video
the
games where if you could pick it up, you're probably eventually going to need it. Yeah. You know, old school video games, they wouldn't let you pick up an item unless you needed to sell it for money or you needed to use it later on in the quest to, you know, I can't tell you how many times as a kid I dropped an item or deleted an item and I got to a boss and it was like, fuck, Fuck, I needed that arrow. Like, I thought it was garbage. It's been in my bag for fucking 3 days. Like, so I fucking threw it away. I needed the bag space, and now I need it. So I have that, like, hoarding mentality when it comes to video games. In Skyrim, yeah, it's just like, here's this wooden spoon. Oh, here's a wooden cup. Oh, you want this bowl? Go ahead, put this bowl in your bag. And then I walk out of this town, and I just got a bag full of shit. Just, like, literal shit that you don't need. And it's like, oh, yeah, nope, this game ain't for me. Like, I can't focus on a game like this. I can't do it.
Yeah, that's entirely where I am. But it looks really good for people in that do consume those games. Looks like it's going to be a good story and hopefully good gameplay.
So I think that wraps up most of the software, except for the Halo Infinite that we'll get on Project Scarlet. Some of the hardware, they did release a second-gen Elite controller. I've always wanted to buy the Elite controller. I have not yet bought the Elite controller. Now I am glad I have not bought the Elite controller yet, because this second-gen one looks dope as hell, man. Like, to be able to customize a controller and have buttons at your finger, you know, where you want them on your fingertips, to have, you know, be able to put longer joysticks on it, make the joysticks more sensitive, less sensitive, trigger sensitivity. The controller is going to come with presets for 3 games already. So it's going to have like a Forza 4 mode, a Apex Legends mode. So it's already going to be like configured for the best optimization for 3 games preloaded. But yeah, I'm a big Overwatch fan. I like playing Overwatch, and I always like get into certain points where I'm like, man, if I just had a fucking button by my middle finger right here, I would have killed that dude before he killed me. Or if I'd have just been able to get that trigger sensitivity a little faster, I would have had that shot off, you know, in time. So I'm a big fan of the Elite controllers, and hopefully this year I'll be able to buy that Gen 2 Elite controller.
All right, well,
now on to Scarlet.
I was going to say, are we going to talk Scarlet and all that stuff, or you want to go Bethesda games real fast? Bethesda didn't have a lot. And we could just
Bethesda didn't impress me. Whole bunch of Elder Scrolls shit. Them trying to fix Fallout 76, so everybody shit on Fallout 76 when it came out. Now they're giving everybody a free DLC, a free trial. They're adding a Battle Royale game to it. They dumped so much money into that Fallout 76 that they really have to. They're scrambling to get an audience back for it.
It looks like the DLC people are actually excited about, because it's bringing back the human NPCs. It's bringing back kind of more of that RPG feel to it. So people are excited about the DLC. I think the Battle Royale's getting received with some skepticism that really that's just them grasping at straws, trying to save their game by what's new and cool is these Battle Royales for everybody. So they're kind of stealing that. We'll see if that's going to be anything that's really desirable at all.
Yeah, Bethesda was really not just for the average gamer. It was really for, like, the Bethesda fans. Like, so if you love Fallout 76, they had, you know, they had some big news for you. If you're an Elder Scrolls fan, they had some big news for you. But if you haven't latched on to any of these games yet, I don't think they released anything that was going to really get you there. Another Wolfenstein, 2 more Wolfensteins, actually. I think a VR version of Wolfenstein called Cyberpilot, and then a co-op version of Wolfenstein called Youngblood.
Yeah.
And they released some tech news with their Orion system that they're going to be rolling out to help with the cloud gaming. You know, so we're going to get into that in a minute, where the future of gaming is, and a lot of that is in cloud gaming. So Bethesda's already trying to be ready for that switch, so that they can handle that capability themselves too, in the processing power for these games for you. And last from Bethesda was a new Doom game. So if you're a Doom fan, they have this Doom Eternal. I think it's this heaven and hell storyline of you know, killing tons of shit in a gory way in heaven or hell. Basically is what that boiled down to. So Bethesda, if you're a Bethesda fan, I'm sure it was important to you. I'm not a big fan of any of those titles. So it was more of a, all right, cool guys, good for you.
In gaming news, I'm saying Wolfenstein is, you know, it's a great franchise and story. So hopefully the Wolfenstein game comes out well. Fallout 76, they're looking to save what people didn't like out of it and just continue to grow that fan base. But yeah, there really just wasn't a lot of what Bethesda released was, you know, mobile games that they were highlighting that I don't know.
It's why that's an E3 thing. I think that's where we're out of touch. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of kids that love their mobile games, and we're just like, I'm used to television screens. Like, man, I don't want to play my groundbreaking game on a screen the size of my palm. I don't want to do it. I bought a fucking 65-inch 4K TV to play my video games on. The last thing I want to do is downgrade to, you know, fucking the something the size of my goddamn hand. Like, no. And I'm almost 40 years old. My vision isn't what it used to be. I'm a large man. I have very large hands and thumbs. I cannot control those fucking ghost joysticks on those phones. And like, I'm a very Cro-Magnon when it comes to phone games.
Yeah. So I think Bethesda really just didn't have, they didn't have a big release. It wasn't nothing to be overly excited about, which is why we can then transition back to the end of the Xbox announcements, as well as say, you know, before E3, we had something we were excited about. But go ahead, finish your notes from Xbox.
Well, no, that's pretty much it. We're at Project Scarlet, which is the next Xbox console that they're going to release holiday 2020. And with the release of Project Scarlet, they did address the fact, you know, they're not going to say the name Stadia out loud.
No.
You know, and they're really kind of like not, they're addressing the future of cloud gaming without promoting it necessarily. So the next Xbox, they said, is, you know, Xbox is going full steam with cloud gaming, but the way they're pitching the next Xbox console is that you can use that as your own personal server, you know, in your home rather than using their servers from afar. So it's like you can still do cloud gaming and your Xbox Scarlet will run all the processing on your end, or you could do cloud gaming and we'll let our processors on our end run it for you, which is basically saying like you don't need it, but if you want it,
yeah,
it'll work.
that's what I got out of it. I was like, well, then why do I need the console? I don't understand.
You know, like, they're still pitching it though that the console is vital in your gaming experience. So the way they're pitching the console is they're trying to eliminate load times, period, with this new console. You know, and they're specifically set for like the RPG fans, you know. When you get in an elevator and you're sitting in an elevator for 15 seconds, like, we all know what's going on. You're loading the next maps. You're loading the next content. They want that to be seamless from now on. They want you to travel through worlds, travel through scenery, and have it be completely seamless. No load screens at all. And I don't know if cloud gaming will be able to achieve that, you know? So
I think it...
While we're talking... Yeah, go ahead.
I think it will. And... You know, kind of like what Stadia was announcing in the sense of, you know, like the actual internet speeds have to be greater than 10 megabytes per second as really like their minimum recommended. But they plan on leveraging up to 35 megabytes per second internet. And it's going to be, I think, like that Netflix model that, hey, if you're running 35 megabits per second, you're going to get 4K gaming and it's going to be seamless and you're going to go. But they're not going to, if your internet speed's lower, they're not going to decrease kind of that seamless rate of play of moving through. They're going to downgrade your video quality. So if you only have 10 megabyte per second internet speed, they're going to cut you down to 720p. They're going to cut you down as far as visual aspects quality, in order, I think, to achieve kind of, again, that like Netflix, you know, fluctuating bandwidth issue, the way that you almost never have buffering and all that stuff in high quality video there. I think they're going to achieve that same thing through cloud gaming.
Well, so cloud gaming is going to go up to the current standard. The thing that Xbox is pushing that they're hoping it'll be the sale is that the Xbox, so the new processor that they developed for the Project Scarlet is 4 times faster than the Xbox One X that I have upstairs, yep, which is already amazing. And with that being 4 times as fast, you know, Stadia is talking about 4K 60 frames per second. They're saying by this time next year with the Project Scarlet, they'll be hitting 120 frames per second at 8K. So I have a 120 hertz TV upstairs, and my other TVs are 60 hertz. Even though my TV upstairs isn't 4K, it's still like the refresh rate, it's so smooth. Like the picture is, you can tell, is way smoother. So like the 4K, the 8K, that really has to do with like color, vibrance, you know, the blacks being really black, the reds being really red, you know, it's more about color. If you want what you're watching to flow really well and not look, you know, I'm not saying 60 frames per second looks choppy, but I can tell the difference between my 60 FPS TV and my 120. So the fact that they're trying to move gaming up to that 120, I can only imagine what a fucking video game is going to look like at 120 frames per second. Like, that's going to be, man, phenomenal. I don't even know what to expect.
Most people, I don't know how much that's really going to tip the scale for a lot of people. I think that the more revolutionary thing that is exciting is the cloud gaming, is the console-less gaming, the fact that you could just pick up a controller, choose a game, and go. And you want to try a new game? You don't have to wait 7 hours to download 5 gig game to try it out, you know, onto your console. You don't have to do these things. You just pick up a game. It's like a Netflix screen. You scroll around, find a game within your subscriptions that you're paying for, and you go. And I think that's where gaming changes.
And so we have yet to see what Stadia is going to be offering for their $9.99 a month. But I think that's really why they're pushing Game Pass too, is because Stadia is going to be somewhere similar. You know, you're going to pay the $9.99 a month. You're going to get this basic package of games. You might have to buy some other ones.
Yeah.
I think that's going to depend on developers and things like that. They haven't released too much information about their actual monthly package and what that's going to entail.
Yeah,
I think that's why Xbox is pushing it.
Yeah, one thing I'm worried about with the Stadia is that they've left it open for developers to come up with their own subscription services too, which, you know, makes sense, but it falls into, well, then is every developer going to have their own $6.99, $9.99 monthly program? You're going to get, you know, killed by mini subscriptions here and there to get to certain developers. But Stadia, I'm sure, is going to have their own titles that they're already working out. But the developers themselves, I don't know, they might hold a lot of cards going into these internet games.
So I can pretty much guarantee that you will not be purchasing the Project Scarlet upon release.
Correct.
I, however, will most likely. I've owned every Xbox on day one release since the first Xbox. But one thing we did both do to make sure we were on the forefront is both sign up for that project, for the Stadia.
Yep. So we're both founders of Stadia.
Yeah, we're both founding members, proud to say. But so part of that is the price point, right? Like, when they announced it last week that you get the controller, which has a $70 value, the 4K Chromecast, the Chromecast Ultra that you need to run it, which is a $50 value, you're already at $120.
Yeah.
So for the $129.99 that they're charging you for the founders package, for an extra $10, you get the 3 months of the $9.99 subscription for you. And a code to give to a friend to try out Stadia for 3 months. So you get two $9.99 a month subscriptions for 3 months. You get Destiny 2 and all the DLCs in everything that they've come out with. So instantly you download Destiny 2 and you're up to date with whatever they've released to that point. Exclusivity on your gamer tag, because everyone's gonna be rushing to make sure they get their same name. I'm not gonna lie, man, I'm not like, that is important to me. I do love that my gamer tag does not have numbers after it, that is just the name that I've always picked. I do regret deleting my first Xbox Live account and letting that lapse, so my initial Steve Dub Xbox name, I let go to hell, and it probably hit. I'm probably missing a good 15,000 gamer achievements from letting that one go and having to start over.
Well, my first gamer tag was flagged as being inappropriate, yeah, and I had to change it. It was not inappropriate. It was it just spelt out the word effing, which
it was borderline, I guess, I frack is the same
that's
thing.
What I'm saying. It was effing noob, and now it's fracking noob, but whatever.
Yeah. So it, you know, with us being founding members of this Stadia and then basically having a year before Scarlet comes out, it's going to be interesting to see how, you know, where everything pivots and where it all goes to, because I am a little skeptical about the Stadia. So I have a good internet connection in my house. I pay the extra money to Comcast. I run 150 megabytes per second at my house. There's a lot of people I know that have gig speed, you know, so as far as internet speed goes, I think most Americans are going to be able to swing that 35 max. If you're in a rural town with one stoplight and you're only running 10, I'm sorry, bro. Like I'm sorry. I don't know how you do it. I'd take my pickup and move to a new area or be calling Google every day to get that Google Fiber into a local area near you.
Nah, just wait for Elon to keep launching satellites.
Yeah, well, I mean, Skylink. That's also an option too. I mean, but that's the thing is you talk about, downloading a 50 gig game and waiting, you know, the time to download that game. Bro, my shit downloads at 134 megabytes per second on my Xbox One X. Like a 50 gig game is like 3 minutes, 5 minutes for me. I'm really not sweating that 5 minutes. I hit download. I go. I make a sandwich. I grab something to drink. I'll smoke a pipe and then I'll come back and my game's done. I'm ready to go. Like it's not one of those old school things where you hit it to download before you go to bed and maybe you can play in the morning when you get up. You know, so I'm interested to see, you know, the way this thing runs, but that affordability. There's something to be said, you know, that Project Scarlet's going to be $499, $599, somewhere around there. You're going to pay around $500 for a new console. And if you can achieve roughly the same thing for, fuck man, like literally a fraction, a minor fraction of the price.
For the cost of a controller Xbox, and a subscription, right? Because that's what the model
Xbox
is going towards.
Xbox has got a problem.
Yeah.
And so does PlayStation, because PlayStation's yet to release their shit, but their shit's going to be... Yeah. Somewhere along the same lines.
But I think that's where it's going. And that's why I wanted to do the founder thing for Stadia, because I'm excited for, I think that truly is where gaming goes. And I think the consoles are, they should be obsolete at this point in time. The internet speeds are fast enough.
Well, the model has always been they don't really make money on these consoles. They're not making their profit margins off of selling consoles. It is a means to an end for them. We need to get you to buy the console so we can make the large chunk of money off the software. Yeah. So by eliminating the hardware and making that price point just over $100 to enter into the new gaming world, you're giving access to all kinds of people that are, you know, I mean, how many kids you see it every Black Friday? You know, the mom's lining up to get their kid the console on sale, you know, a year after it came out, sometimes 2 years after it came out, because they wait. You know, sorry, we can't get it at launch. We can't afford that price tag. And these kids got to wait, you know, some adults to also got to wait years to come into what is the current standard of video games. $129 price point, if you're a gamer, like... If you can't afford that, like you should maybe be sticking to board games.
Well, and it's So the big question is, it's $129 price point to be a founder member, but down the road, it literally should only cost you the cost of buying a single controller. And
well, and that Chromecast Ultra.
So, for now, TVs will be capable of doing this, I think. Internally soon. Smart TVs are going to have the capability of probably being able to handle this.
Yeah, but so that's the thing is the TVs may be able to handle this, but they're going to have to strike a deal with Google, because some TVs run Roku.
Yeah.
Some TVs run Amazon Fire. Some TV, you know what I mean? So The fact that Google needs its streaming unit to run these games on your TV, that's, you know, just like how if you're running Internet Explorer on your computer, no, you're going to have to download Google Chrome. Like, you're going to have to, if you want to play Stadia, you're going to have to download Google Chrome. You're going to have to run on Google's shit.
Well, we don't know that, though. We don't know that yet.
Yes, we do.
It doesn't.
They said flat out.
Do we know that it'll only be ran on the
Chromecast? Yeah.
I'm curious to see if they're going to allow you to Roku to have apps on their 4K, their higher level streaming, you know, cubes and stuff like that. Same thing with the 4K.
As of right now, even the test Stadias can't run on like iPhones.
Yeah.
Because they're not running the, right now Stadia only runs on the Google manufactured phones. So they're limited to their Google tech. You know, so, you know, I have Chromecast in my house anyways. I like the Chromecast better than any of the other streaming units. The Chromecast Ultra is just the $50 version that can stream 4K. I have the regular ones that are like $29.99 or $20 or something like that to stream stuff from your phone to your TV. I don't know if you'll be able to run that 720 off a regular Chromecast. So you might be able to buy a cheap $10, $20 Chromecast in the future and just run that 720. But if you want 4K full capabilities on your television, you're going to need that Chromecast Ultra, which I think right now is like $49.99.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I didn't tie the fact that it was only... Like they're bundling
they don't blatantly come out and say
that. I think they're bundling it because that's going to be the best experience if you have that. But I can see down the road them rolling out, hey, the app that you can install into your Roku streaming device, your smart TV.
Yeah, but I could also see down the road a Jeff Bezos saying fuck your Google and putting in software that blocks a fucking Stadia if you're using an Amazon Fire Stick.
Maybe that's
I don't not maybe you know that bald Lex Luthor motherfucker isn't gonna let Google play in his sandbox. I wouldn't doubt if they got like someone might know more than me right now and hopefully comment or let us know. But I would not doubt if Amazon is developing their own Stadia right now. Why are they gonna be on the sideline? Amazon is not gonna be on the sideline for any of this shit.
No.
You know, just and Google and Amazon are going to be the next big corporate wars. So just like how Amazon bought that Ring doorbell and then they pulled all the Nest stuff off Amazon. You can't buy a Nest doorbell or a Nest thermostat off of Amazon. So what does fucking Google do? Google buys Nest and now it's called Google Nest. And now Google has their own doorbell and Google has their own smart home capabilities. Like it's going to be, that is the next big corporate race. Google versus Amazon is that 2030 shit that you're either going to be team Amazon or team Google, but really eventually they're both just going to own the goddamn globe.
The future of everything coming out, it's a bit behind the veil. We don't really know how they're going to implement a lot of these things, but I still wanted to be a part of this the Stadia because I think that this is what's next. This is what's makes sense to me. I think consoles are dead. Amazon, I wouldn't be surprised. They probably are going to jump into the game. Why wouldn't they? They have the server.
Motherfucking Nerdstradamus, mark that shit down. We'll tweet it on the Nerdstradamus Twitter that we're making today.
E3 next year. Yep. Amazon announces their video game service.
Yep. Fucking. Bazadia, whatever the fuck they want to call it, like bald-headed motherfucker. You know he's gonna make it. You know that they're launching satellites to like fucking play video games on the moon with us, guys.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, well,
but I think that wraps up most of our E3 coverage. We're quick for next week because we didn't really have time to do anything but the E3 coverage and some video game stuff today. What episode do you want of Handmaid's Tale?
Ooh, season 2, 6, episode 6.
All right, because Hulu, when they released the season, they released the first 3 episodes. So we watched the first 3 episodes of season 3, but now we have to wait till every Wednesday to get them out. So next week, Handmaid's Tale recap at the end up to current, because I got no dudes to talk to about this show. Like, it is, you know, and I feel really bad talking about this show to women, because they got the shit end of the stick in this show, man. Like, I, like, you want to talk about patriarchy?
Oh, yeah.
Like, holy fuck.
Yeah, it's next level, for sure.
So, like, I feel guilty talking to women about the Handmaid's Tale show, because, like, I am not of Steve. I don't have enough Steve at my house. I would not be for that. Like, I'm running to New America in Canada, you know, yeah, with my two daughters, because I'm not about that life.
Well, we'll see if I get caught up. It's a slow crawl for me to get caught up on shows, but we'll
get on that shiz. I'm gonna call your wife, tell her to get on it. She's slowing down the podcast.
All right, well, I think this will wrap up. We'll catch the rest of E3 news on next week. But thanks for listening to our long droning on of a bunch of games coming out. And
hey, man, who doesn't love video games?
What we always want to ask is to continue to share what we've got going on here. Engage in the community at thenerdcantina.com/community. We'll take you to our closed Facebook group. Get in there, have a good time, and join us as we really go deeper on a lot of these topics that we talk about here. We'll also ask that you subscribe, like, review on whatever podcast player you're currently listening on. Helps us a great deal.
Yeah, our reach is growing. We're starting to hit some really, to us at least, impressive numbers.
Yeah, some exciting numbers for us.
Yeah, some exciting numbers for two nerds that just kind of pulled this out of their ass. So join in on the conversations in the Facebook group. I really have a fun time in the Facebook group. There's a lot of really friendly people in there talking about some really cool stuff and sharing some cool articles and memes and things like that. So come on in, join in on the fun, and then help us keep growing. The more people that we can get involved, the better. You know, this is a community-based show, and we want to involve the community.
All right, well, thanks again, nerds, and farewell.
See you next week.
Real quick, we just wanted to mention one of our favorite new apps, which is PodCoin. So assuming that because you're listening to our podcast today, that you happen to be a podcasting nerd. And if you are, I can't see any reason why you wouldn't want to get paid for your time.
I'm a big fan of getting paid to do stuff that I do in my daily routine. Anyways, I have signed up for all the rewards programs possible. And with PodCoin, you actually get paid to listen to podcasts. So every minute that goes by that you're listening to your podcast, you are throwing away potential money.
So go ahead, download PodCoin app on either through iTunes or through the Google Play Store. And when you sign up with the promo code Nerd Cantina.
One word. That'll get you 300 free coins towards your account and get you on your way to earning that first reward from either Amazon gift card, Target gift cards, all kinds of things. You could also donate your coins to your favorite charity that they offer. If you're going to be listening to podcasts anyways, you might as well get some free stuff for doing it. So download the PodCoin app, put in the code the Nerd Cantina, get your free coins, and start earning money while you listen to our show.